Total Tuscany Podcast, number 26. Ciao, and welcome to another edition of the Total Tuscany Podcast. I'm Travis Justice, joined by my Tuscany partner, who helps me tell the stories that you like to listen to each and every week, Mr. Pat Campagna. What's going on, Pat?
Hello, Tuscan partner. Doing well. How are you?
You know, it's great. And today is one of those days where when we make requests for podcast interviews, we have an agenda in mind. And today was one of those times where I had an agenda in mind when I sent out the request. And I like it when it's a pleasant surprise when that agenda maybe gets turned upside down. And it was about a week ago, maybe a week and a half ago, I reached out to Helen Farrell from The Florentine. And The Florentine is an independent, free press, published every month, 11 issues per year, with a circulation of about 10,000 copies. And it's an English newspaper in Florence. And they do so many other things, but I thought that would be a fascinating story because of its popularity, of its reach on Facebook and Twitter, and just the need for an English-speaking newspaper in Florence. I mean, that in itself is a great story.
It's a great story, and you're exactly right, because the agenda that that Helen wants to talk about and we're able to talk about with her is so much more important than anything that I knew about. I don't know about you.
You know, we are passionate about Tuscany, but what we're passionate about pales in comparison of what Helen is passionate about and the staff at the Florentine is passionate about, because there's something about Tuscany, there's something about Florence when you visit there. There's certain parts of it that get inside your body. They touch you in a way you can't really describe unless you experience them for yourself. And I think that has happened. In fact, I know it has happened with Helen Farrell, because she says so in The Florentine, and she actually says so in today's podcast, because they are on a mission to renovate the Pazzi Chapel. The Pazzi Chapel is located in the Santa Croce Basilica Church Complex. And when you hear this story, it's really quite amazing.
It is, and Michelangelo and Galileo are buried in the grounds, as we understand it, as surrounding the basilica. So this is a very important place and a very important chapel, and there's a very real need here.
And what's great about that need, as you're going to find out in this podcast, is that each and every one of us can play a part in the restoration of the Pazzi Chapel. Helen, we have so many questions to ask you, and there's so much information out there, but I want to read you a paragraph that I'm reading right now in The Florentine. And it says this: has a place ever cried out to your soul, shaken you to your very core? Well, the staff of The Florentine has been moved recently to tears and to the point of experiencing heart palpitations, dizziness, and confusion. Yes, we can confirm Stendhal syndrome does exist. And you are talking, of course, about the Basilica of Santa Croce. Can you go more into that feeling and what you're doing with the Basilica today?
Yeah, this is a project that's been born out of love. Love for a place that really does move you. Those words I wrote after spending a bit of time in the Pazzi Chapel in particular, and in the Basilica of Santa Croce, which has always been one of my favorite places to spend time in Florence. There's something very special about that church, about its history, about its immense wealth of culture. You've got some of the most incredible, illustrious figures in history who are buried in the Basilica of Santa Croce. There's Galileo in there, there's Michelangelo, there isn't Dante, but there's a monument to Dante, because his body remains, his remains stay in Ravenna. But there really is something for everybody. I'm obviously somebody who loves literature as an editor, and for me, Some of the greatest figures in literary history have written about Santa Croce. So those words that you mentioned in the beginning, they really do define this journey that the Florentine is on with Opera di Santa Croce, which is the administration who is in charge of the Basilica. The project is an ambitious one. The aim is to raise $95,000 in just 33 days, we're now at 25 days, to restore the loggia of the Patsy Chapel. It's an incredible space. It's one that moves you as soon as you walk in. It's a crowdfunding campaign, and it's on Kickstarter, the American platform. And this is the first time that a cultural institution, a major cultural institution in Florence, has launched a Kickstarter campaign to raise funds for a restoration. When we met the management of Santa Croce, we just thought, we want to be involved in this. This is something that we as the Florentine can give back with our readers, with the people who follow us on social media. We can give something back to the city. So that's where the project has been born from.
You know, when you approached the fundraising campaign, was there some pushback from going to Kickstarter, or was it widely accepted as a way to generate funds for this important project?
We were all on the same page from the beginning, really. And this is what's so incredible. Opera di Santa Croce is obviously... It's an institution, you know, and unfortunately Italian institutions often get bogged down in red tape and in bureaucracy. But they were the ones, the administrators of Santa Croce, who wanted to do this. They want to use new, innovative technologies to show the world that they want to communicate better, to show the world that they want to move forward. And the idea is sort of old meets new, you know, this idea of the Renaissance meets the present day. So it's not just a crowdfunding project, per se. It's also about a way of communicating, you know, communicating that this Florentine institution, this church, which has more than a history of more than 720 years, that it wants to do something looking towards the future, you know? And I think that's what's very, very special about this project too.
Helen, some of our listeners may not know what a loggia is. Would you describe what that is and the significance to this church?
Yes, the loggia is it's a freestanding structure on pillars. It's in Pietra Serena, which is it's a type of sandstone that wears very easily when exposed to the elements. And of course, this structure is, because as I say, it's a freestanding structure on the outside of the Patsy Chapel. Opera di Santa Croce, the institution in charge of the Basilica, have intervened on two separate occasions to make sort of a temporary restoration project, you know, to render it safe to visitors and everything like that. But the time has now come. There is an urgency to intervene to protect this structure. And that's what this project is all about. It's not just about the crowdfunding and everything else. It is a job that needs to be done, and they do need to do it quickly. So the actual restoration project will take place at the beginning of next year, beginning of 2015. But the loggia is basically the freestanding structure that stands on the outside of the Patsy Chapel. So you before you actually walk into the chapel, you experience this almost, it's like a porch, yeah? And it's beautifully decorated. It has these tiles by Della Robbia that you look up, and they're beautifully colored. But you can see the signs of wear and tear, and that's where we need to intervene.
At the time of this recording, you already have 259 backers on your Kickstarter page, a total of $23,000. There's 24 days to go, again, at the time of this recording. You can link up to the Kickstarter page right here on our website, TotalTuscany.com. If you're on Twitter, just do a hashtag crazy for Pazzi. But what is it about the Pazzi Chapel that moves you, and what needs to be restored at this part of the Basilica?
Okay. The sensation that you feel when you walk into the Patsy Chapel is unfathomable. I find it very hard to put that experience into words because it's different for everybody. I know the first time I walked in there, I felt a sense of serenity, of peace and quiet. It's quite a cold space, but it sort of gives you a sense of reassurance. That was the first time I walked in. The second time I walked in was with a group. We were there with the Florentine, and we were, you know, looking at the structure and ways of inspiring the public to donate to this project. I actually detached myself from the group, and I went and sat down on one of the ledges, because on basically within the chapel, there are ledges on all sides because it was a chapter house, no, a meeting place for the friars. That's what it was in the past. I sat down, I wrote a page and a half of prose. I started recently writing haiku, little poems for the modern day, you know, three lines long, they're very short. I sat and I wrote three haiku just by sitting there and being inspired by the space. And that's what's so very special about the Patsy Chapel. It moves you inexplicably. You don't really know why you're moved. You don't really understand the space. There are no tombs on the floor. There's an altar. It's very simple. But it's the lodger that we're concentrating on, as we already mentioned, this entranceway into the Patsy Chapel. And that's what needs to be restored. It's not actually the Patsy Chapel that is being restored right now. What we're restoring, what we want to restore, what we aim to restore with this project is the entranceway with these beautiful tiles, as I say. It's the welcome into the chapel itself.
Are you finding that the donations are coming from a particular group? Is it mostly primarily an Italian Tuscan renovation project is that where the source of the funds are coming from, Helen, or do you find it's a broader, more global movement?
It's a global reaction. The local press have been wonderful in giving us press exposure, press coverage, and it started there. But we've obviously, the Florentine is involved in this project, and our readership is an international one. So we have people who read us more in New York and in London than they actually do in Florence online. So yes, we have the people like me who've been expats for many, many years. You know, it's 13 years I've lived in Florence now. So we have the people who, English speakers who live in Florence. We have people who just love Florence from all over the world, you know, and they want to donate and they want to give back. And that's something that we hear a lot from people. You know, people are so much in love with Florence and with Tuscany and with Italy that they just want to give something back. And that's what we're seeing with this crowdfunding project, Crazy for Patsy. Even the hashtag is in English. It's not in Italian. That was a deliberate choice to make it accessible globally. Italians are not excluded, obviously, from this project. They're very much involved. It's a global project in many ways. You know, you have the institution, you have an international-minded newspaper involved, and because of that, we're having donations that are coming locally. We've got donations that are coming from all over the world, from the States, from the UK, from Australia. We've had press coverage so far in France and in Holland. So the word is spreading. You know, it started locally, but it's definitely expanding on a global level.
Have you ever been part of a movement like this to watch it spread all over the world? And what kind of rush is that? I mean, is there an adrenaline rush just to know that you're doing something so good for such a historic place and to watch it spread all over the world?
Yeah, there's a rush in it, I think. But we're very, very focused, you know, because at the end of the day, this is a project. The Patsy Chapel, the lodger of the Patsy Chapel, desperately needs restoring, as I say. And so we're incredibly focused on actually making it happen, on working hard. A crowdfunding campaign isn't something that you just launch and then watch it go, you know? You have to be tending to it like a baby all the time. So adding updates, contacting the press, contacting friends and family, spreading the word. There is a rush. There is an adrenaline thing going on, but more than anything else, we're incredibly, incredibly focused on making this important thing happen.
So, Helen, the actual restoration kicks off in January, right? How long will the project? How long is it expected to take? And our listeners who happen to donate, when can they expect to come to Florence and see the loggia restored?
Okay, the restoration is expected to take 6 months. By the end of 2015, visitors will be able to come and they'll be able to see the loggia of the Patsy Chapel in its full splendor. If they donate, there's actually an option on Kickstarter. One of the rewards is that people can come and actually see the restoration in progress, which obviously would be a totally unique experience. I don't think there are many, many opportunities like that to see such such an old medieval Renaissance structure actually undergoing restoration work. So there is the possibility, if you donate, to actually see the restoration going on firsthand.
There are so many levels to donate. And if you're not familiar with a Kickstarter campaign, it's just not one amount. That's what's unique, is that there are amounts that anyone of really any financial ability can give, from just a supporter at $10 all the way up to the a patron of the Posse Chapel at $1,000. And with each one of those levels, and there's very many of them, there's a unique gift that goes along with that, whether it be digitally or an actual physical gift. And I think that's what makes crowdfunding and a Kickstarter page unique, is that it really allows people of all backgrounds, financial backgrounds, to contribute.
Absolutely. And that's what's so special about this campaign. And we've been talking to, I'm not actually the project manager, Alexandra Corey, who is the social media manager of the Florentine. She's in charge of running this campaign on our behalf. Obviously, Opera di Santa Croce have their managers involved in it as well. But what she's finding when she's seeing the donations come in, seeing these rewards going out to people, is that people want to be involved at any sort of level. You know, she spoke to somebody who donated an amazing $3,000, but she also has spoken to somebody who was sad about the fact he was only able to donate $3. But frankly, those $3 are as precious as $3,000. It's a group effort. It's a team effort to work together to protect the future of this important structure.
Now, the Kickstarter campaign goes through Friday, December 19th. On the Kickstarter page, it says this project will only be funded if at least $95,000 is pledged by that date. If you don't reach that goal, will the restoration not happen? And that's why I want to get to the sense of urgency. How important is it that we get to that $95,000 goal?
It's essential. Opera di Santa Croce have actually raised their own $95,000. What Opera di Santa Croce is asking for is the remainder. So the actual total sum of the restoration, I think, is 100. I'm no good at maths. I'm an editor. I work on words. But I think the total sum is $190,000 to restore the entire loggia. What Opera di Santa Croce is asking for is half of that, to be able to go ahead and restore the structure. So if we don't reach those $95,000, the restoration probably will not go ahead. I don't know. Maybe they'll find a way, another way. I don't know. But the idea is that, you know, we do this together and we give something back to Florence, and we make this restoration happen as soon as possible, because it desperately needs that help.
Helen, we're expressing our thanks, first of all, for your taking this project on and bringing it to its fruition. How much of your time is this project consuming? As editor of the Florentine, huge circulation, has this become your passion?
Yes. I mean, everything Florentine, Tuscan, and Italian. What motivates the Florentine in everything that we do is love for this city. And I always joke and say I feel a bit like Cupid, you know, because I shoot these arrows of Florentine love, and people do love this city, you know, and so it's taking up time to do this project, crazy for Patsy, but it's absolutely worth it, because, you know, we see how much people are moved by it, so it means something to people. You know, you're thanking me, and I'm thanking you back, because that's the way this works. It's a reciprocal love of Florence that motivates us all and gives us all so much satisfaction.
People may not know, we've referenced it, you've referenced it a couple times, and that is the Florentine. And that is an English-speaking newspaper that's, I believe, released once a month. It's also online. But we could talk another hour about the need for the Florentine, the uniqueness of the Florentine. But before we let you go, just how popular is the Florentine? And are you like the savior for a lot of expats that live in Florence and in Tuscany, that you provide an English-speaking service like this?
Savior is a big word. I'm not sure we're a savior, but I think we're a source of invaluable information to expats, but not just to expats. You know, you've got students who, Florence has a huge international student community. So we serve the students who live here for, you know, from a month to 6 months of the year to longer. Expats like me who've lived here for many years. Expats are here just for a short period of time. Beyond that, so like you mentioned, we have the magazine, which comes out once a month. We also have a digital publication, which talks about all of the events, English-friendly events that are taking place in Florence. That comes out once a week, every Thursday. In addition to that, we also publish books. I don't know if you're aware of that. So we're a book publisher as well. We do lots of different things. The idea is we offer a range of services to English speakers or internationally minded Italians as well, because a lot of Italians like to read the Florentine for the fresh, different perspective that we offer on what's going on in Florence. So our readership is very, very mixed, which makes the job infinitely more challenging and rewarding as well.
So what you did right there was just set yourself up for another interview, because we talked a lot about the Pazzi Chapel. We're going to let you go because we know you're extremely busy, but let's have you back again in the next month or so, maybe after the Kickstarter campaign is done, and we'll go into more of the Florentine and that special a place it has with the international community in Florence. You up for that?
Absolutely. Yes, I'd love to do that. Yes.
Excellent. Helen, thanks for your time. We appreciate it. And good luck with the Kickstarter campaign. Anything we can do to help, let us know.
We will. Thank you very, very much. Thank you.
We are encouraging you to donate today. Follow the lead of many others. In fact, we here at Total Tuscany have already sent in our pledge.
We are already helping out as best we can. And what great. This is such a great thing to be a part of. And if you go to the website, you'll see whatever you can afford to donate, they're looking for any help that they can get. And there's lots of neat, really neat information available and some things that the Florentine's willing to give back to those that donate.
And look at it this way. And they're not asking for astronomical amounts. We're talking in ranges from $10 all the way up to $1,000. If you have the whole $95,000 you want to donate, feel free to do that. But here's what I think you and I look at it at is this, is when we go to back to Tuscany in March or April, we haven't really decided yet, when we go to the Pazzi Chapel, we are going to know as we watch that restoration take place that we played a small, small part in that. And I think that means a lot to both you and I.
Well, it does. Something that's been around for centuries, over 700 years. And to think that we played a role in helping it last another 700, you can't beat that.
You know, there are so many ways to get involved, and the first is to click on the Kickstarter link, which you can find right here at TotalTuscany.com, but then you can share this podcast with your friends. Share it on Facebook. Share it on Twitter. Share it anywhere you can, and if you don't like us on Facebook, take the time to do that, at Total Tuscany, and also like or follow our Twitter page as well, at Total Tuscany. The more we share this story, the sooner this $95,000 gets raised, and it needs to be raised by December 19th. It's very important that number get matched. For Pat Campagna, I'm Travis Justice. Thanks so much for listening to today's Total Tuscany podcast. Hope you enjoyed it, and remember to live Tuscan.